Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is a very big weekend. It is reveal day weekend. Tomorrow is reader blind reveals, and on Sunday, reveal day. And honestly, for this Friday, Jen and I are doing something we haven't done in a long time. Jen, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I mean, like you said, big time for CDAN. You have the big reveals coming up, and you and I have a cool case to cover, so.
Oh, this is something we haven't done in a long, long time.
You know, why? Because we had COVID step in, and then, you know, the whole thing with law enforcement, regardless of how anyone feels about them, you know, no one has really heard about this type of case in the longest of time because law enforcement, for the most part, has been quarantined and also lying low. But here you have a case that needs all hands on deck, and it looks like that all hands on deck did actually show for the party, and, you know, we're going to talk about what kind of party it is. And hopefully,
this happened just a couple weeks ago. I mean, this is something that
we're talking June 15th fresh.
I know. And the tragedy is, and this is one of the things that I'm always, I'm better with it because of the fact that she's just missing, and I hope that we find her. But it's always tough for me.
This is how I get him to do these. This is why, okay, we're covering a child case today, and the only way that I got him to cover it is because he doesn't know the outcome yet. None of us do.
Exactly.
You know, these cases are tough, and that's why I try to stay away from them. But, you know, we've seen Jamie Kloss come home, Sean Hornbeck, Elizabeth Smart. So when we go to talk about 5-year-old Summer Wells of Tennessee, listen, there's still hope. You can never give up on them, because until there is absolute evidence that she cannot come home, you have to think that she can. So that's our story today.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this disappearance. And it just, to me, it's all kinds of messed up, and the family's just not really helping, which really kind of makes me mad.
Yeah. It's going to be one of those cases to where you will receive a lot of information, and then we will have to let the listeners decide for themselves, you know, how harsh do you judge parents, and, you know, what kind of conundrums have they got themselves into? You know, this is a puzzle, not just for the TBI, which is Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, but the FBI is involved. There are agencies from all over the nation involved, but this is 5-year-old Summer Wells. She disappeared from Rogersville, Tennessee, right from her house, her own property, on June 15th. And you have the Churchill Rescue Squad looking for her. I mean, this is the country. The rugged country. I mean, out in the hollers, if you ever watch Justified on FX, that is what we're talking about here. This is the hollers. So for her to disappear, it's like trying to find a needle in a haystack. She's about 3 feet tall, blonde hair, blue eyed. And so far, you know, there's just absolutely nothing to indicate what happened to her. All we have is a background story based upon what the mother has told TBI.
Yeah, we don't really even have a timeline.
And we have nothing. Like this.
How do you not have a timeline?
Because when people don't call for law enforcement help right away, and we'll get into reasons why they might not do that, you cannot build one. All you have is the start of the 911 call. And then thankfully in this case, one living witness outside of the mother.
Yeah.
The best that we can do.
So you had all the females in the family, I guess, had a busy day, and the dad's at work. There's some boys inside the home. Obviously, it's summertime. They're on their devices. And something happened to Summer that resulted in her parents calling 911, but at around 6:30 p.m. And, I mean, I think even the TBI people, they're frustrated. At least the spokesperson said that
they don't know. And people are so frustrated. The public is, when they listen to these pressers, because they believe that TBI or the FBI are holding out on them, and they have came out and actually been very transparent for like the first time ever. You know, normally they just keep everything internal, close to the vest. But TBI said through their spokesperson, Leslie Earhart, look, we are not holding back. It's typically, in these type of investigations, you know, we have some of an idea of where the case is headed. And then within a few days, you know, we're able to kind of figure it out. We're doing everything in our power to try to figure out what happened to Summer. But look, these circumstances, they remain unclear. And no one on earth is more frustrated than us. And we're not holding out on you. And then they solicit it like crazy for the public to give them real tips, not Facebook tips, not gossip, but legitimate tips. Like if you lived in Rogersville and you were at a certain place, you know, and you saw something, then they would like to hear from you.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, this is out in the middle of nowhere, and which makes it even more unlikely and crazy that something happened. And the mom's name is Candace and the father is Don. The grandma also is named Candace. So for when we're talking about it, grandma's just grandma. And Candace is the mom. And if the mother's story is credible, the abduction happened within a 2-minute window. Has that happened before? Yes. Has it happened often? No. But I mean, it did. Jamie Kloss was 2 minutes. Right.
I mean, sure, it has happened. With people traveling to foreign countries, someone drives by in a car, they grab your kid, put them in a car, a child bicycling down the street. Yes, Jamie Kloss kidnapping would be, I think, the closest example to 2 minutes, you know, or less in and out of your own property. Because if you listen to the mother's story, the child, she walked into her own home. She walked past three brothers. They're not close to 18, but you know, they're old enough to know what's going on. They're older brothers. Yeah. And someone would have needed to pass them to have collected Summer. So that's what makes this case so odd, is the fact that the window is so small and you have a grandmother and a mother both outside the door. And then you have the boys inside, you know, and the parents are screaming, okay, she's missing because she's been kidnapped. And then we'll get into what type of kidnapping they are claiming that it is.
Yeah, just set it up again. So you have the three older brothers. Just imagine, you know, on their phones, whatever, playing video games. They're three of them. And Summer walks past them down a flight of stairs into the basement. She's got a playroom there. And she's never seen again. So the intruder, like you said, would have to get past the boys and know that she's downstairs in the basement. Mom.
Yeah, And even
grandma,
though,
just outside, right?
Like, right? Just correct. Yeah, they're just outside. But correct me if I'm wrong. So you have three boys, and even though they're in, sometimes the story has varied. I will tell you this: the parents, they switch the narrative up slightly. Okay, sometimes they put the boys in the kitchen on electronics, and sometimes they are in a living area, like a living room type situation on electronics, or watching TV, or just it changes. Regardless, someone would had to have got past three boys who would have looked up, I imagine, if they heard the door shut. Because you think, you know, it's parents coming, you know, oh, what does mom want now? Three boys are going to look up.
Yeah. And the dog was there. And so you had mom and grandma just outside supposedly planting succulents into pots. This is not time for a succulent discussion. But at some point down the road, we will have a succulent discussion.
I think we're going to have to, but yes, that's what they claim they were doing. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, what you have to understand with these cases is that stranger abductions, yes, they happen, but they are of the rarest form. Okay. Children are normally kidnapped or harmed by someone they are familiar with or someone that they know. You know, I'm not saying that kidnapping, you know, by people that don't like you, you know, adversaries or people that are totally strangers can't happen. I'm saying it's rare. And just when you look at the facts and data and how it just historically stacks up, that's just how it is.
It's like 99%, right?
It is. I mean, it is. That's why the TBI calls this case just completely out of the norm. And then you have the parents saying, we are so adamant about the fact that Summer would never, ever leave her yard, ever. And then they go on to say, well, not on our own.
Yeah. I mean, lives in the country, trespassing, really highly unlikely. You know, everybody kind of knows each other. And if you don't, you know, you're going to see a gun. And they got trail cameras there because they want to see what's near their house, like for hunting or whatever, surveillance stuff. And
oh, trust me, they have it. These are country people. And while I see a lot of forums picking fun at country people, they are very savvy. They are as high tech as city people. They are just not always willing to, you know, offer up their surveillance. You know, perhaps a lot of people have deer cams and other surveillance equipment they have not offered up to law enforcement. And that's why law enforcement continues to solicit, you know, please look at your cams. Please let us know if you saw anything, the littlest tip, because they know these people have them. Like you said, they're real curious about what goes on their property.
Yeah, and they could have pot grows or something like that too. And, you know, triggers in case, you know, police come by or things like that.
That's exactly where I'm going with this. Is they want to know who's coming on their property, why, and like you said before, they're armed and dangerous, and yet they'll kill you. You know, like I said, just go back and watch Justified. That is the type of situation that I am looking at.
And you have Candace, and she notifies the media in an interview, a recent one, although they're all recent because it's only been a few weeks, that she wanted to be referred to as Candace Bly, not Candace Wells. And her social media reflects that she married Don Wells back in 2016, and her mom, grandma, attended the wedding. And, you know, it's just kind of, up until this point, Candace's documents and social media had said Candace Wells. So, you know, is the couple married or not?
I don't know. Let me ask you a legal question, okay? So say, for instance, that it is a formality. Say that they got married in front of their family and friends just for the sake of getting married for the children, you know, just a public ceremony, but they're not legally married. Does that not set them up to be able to testify against each other? Does that make sanctity of marriage go away?
Yeah, and, you know, there's so many exceptions to this whole testifying against your spouse and stuff like that. And I don't know what Tennessee's story is, but a lot of those are gone now. So that doesn't really hold up anyway.
Oh, okay. But, so that's not the reason why you think that she would be distancing herself from his name.
No, I think she's distancing herself from his name because perhaps she's going, he might have done something. And, you know, maybe that's why, because everybody knows in that community that he has a history of domestic violence. So, you know,
he does have a 2020 domestic violence blip on his, you know, arrest reports. He's had run-ins with law enforcement. His entire family is, they've commented they're publicly scared of him, including grandma. He can be very violent. The thing is that he claims he was at work that day. So it puts Summer ultimately, at least initially, earlier that day in the care of the females. And then another person that we'll talk about that comes into the narrative also. But at least up until the point of where something bad may have happened, he's supposedly at work and he's this contractor and there's other people supposedly working with him. So that there's witnesses, you know, yeah. He doesn't show up on scene supposedly until the mother summons for him to show up. And, you know, could he have been complicit in something after that? Sure. Or could he have just shown up and been a worried dad? Yeah, also sure.
Yeah, because I think there's no doubt that Summer is their daughter.
Oh, gosh. Look at him and then look at her. I mean, is she not his image? Come on.
Yeah. And then so you got that kind of situation going on. And then I guess there's this whole thing. I guess there was a TV interview and they saw a box of lice solution or something going on sitting at the table.
Oh, gosh. Head shave gate. You know, everyone is fixated on the fact that the majority of the mainstream media pictures are of Summer with her long blonde hair and blue eyes. And she looks a lot like JonBenet. She's dressed in her Christmas dress. So it's very sexy and salacious to the media to flash those photos. But in reality, Summer's head had been shaved completely bald because allegedly the family went through a lice infestation. Now, they don't want to announce that to the entire public, you know, through an interview because it's embarrassing. But the problem is that while they're trying to tell the story, their narrative of why Summer has no hair when she disappeared, there is that bottle of Nyx lice solution sitting beside them.
You know, there's no need to shave the head if you're doing all that stuff and combing it and everything, but maybe they just said, I don't want to deal with this, and so I'm going to shave her head. It is kind of odd.
It is. Well, their backup story is that, well, you know, Summer has three brothers and they shaved their head, you know, and it was hot in the summer, so, you know, once we shaved their head, she decided to get the blades and shave her own head, and it looked crazy, so we shaved the rest of it off. And in solidarity, the mother, Candace, she shaved her head as well to not make Summer feel bad. But this problem with that story is, why would Summer feel bad if it was her idea? Do you see what I mean? It's these stories that have a little tinge of something wrong in them.
They do. And it just, to me, though, I don't see a family in the middle of the country being all that worried that they had lice or something like that. It just kind of, yeah, we had lice. And the fact that, you know, to say, oh, we're embarrassed or something like that. This kind of reminds me.
Because there's so many rumors. Like, this community is a great community. You know, if you are like all hands on deck and you're a good faith person and you're going to church and you're doing your part in the community is going to do their part with you. When it comes to this family, the community says, look, we tried. We've tried to help them so many times. They keep burning us, allegedly. So, you know, it's this love-hate relationship. And there's just all these rumors about how shaving a head could have been a source of punishment. And then you have people come in that say, oh, no, that's not a thing. But then you have Don, the father's co-workers, talking about how he really ran Summer down at work. You know, he talked about his daughter in a way that most men would not. And, you know, it's just concerning some of the things that little Summer may or may not have went through.
Yeah, we're not going to say the things that he said about his daughter. But I will say this, that it is inappropriate to call any person that, let alone a five-year-old, or let alone Chrissy Teigen calling that to Kevense Wallace. So it is that kind of thing. And then the argument was, oh, you know, somebody kidnapped her because it's this, you know, blonde hair, blue-eyed girl. But if she's shaved and the head shaved, then that kind of goes out the window, because if you lined her up next to her brothers, then all of a sudden it looks like there's four boys.
And it certainly does. And the father came out, I mean, out of the gate with, oh, this is what happened. The Mexicans have taken her. They've taken her across the border. She's gone. That's it. She's been trafficked. And I'm like, what?
Now I'm not saying that there might not be a cartel involved in drug trafficking in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, in charge of their grow. However, I find very hard to believe that there's just not that kind of trafficking that goes on, and smuggling her all the way from Tennessee to the Mexican border. I just, no.
You know, in missing person cases, again, just statistically speaking, the last thing that parents of a missing child will do is automatically go to that story or that point in their mind to where they get the flash of horror that their kid has been kidnapped by traffickers. They don't want to think of anything that could possibly be happening to their child in that fashion. Dawn goes directly to it. And while I think it is the craziest story ever, because they live absolutely nowhere near the border, this is not Laredo. Like you said, it's a 2-minute window, and we'll talk about, you know, what else happened that led up to this. It would be quite a coincidence. I mean, lightning striking 2 or 3 times for his story to be true. Could it be true? I mean, there's been weirder things. Do I buy it? No.
No, I don't buy it either. And
I think it's been in the news. I think it's popular, a popular excuse, you know, for someone that is, I don't know, maybe of a slanted view. And maybe he's just using that. It's really suspicious to me.
Well, because he says that drug users wander through the woods and abduct children.
Yeah.
First of all, let me tell you something about, I'll tell you about something about some grows. In Northern California, it is different now that pot is legal in California. But there are some places in Northern California, Mendocino County, Humboldt County.
Humboldt County and number one. Look those cases up. Woo.
If you went up there and you try to cross like a line or something, they'll shoot you. But they don't want any attention. They're not wandering through the woods, kidnapping people. They don't want anybody near their stuff. They're trying to keep as low profile as they can. They don't want helicopters flying over and looking for their grows and stuff like that. So for him to say that drug users wander through the woods and abduct children is ridiculous.
Yes, and tuck this is his first statement. I told you straight out of the gate, this is what he came up with. So tuck this statement in your hat. And then when we go through his next statements, I mean, you just have to start putting them together and then decide for yourself what type of person speaks like this. And is this logical? Because it's going to be important. Every detail is important.
Yeah. And so I'm not for that. Could she have been abducted? Sure. I'll go there, but I'm not going with the whole, his narrative of it. Was she the victim of an accidental death? Is this, as you said before, like a JonBenet, which I remain convinced was an accidental death and then just a monstrous cover up. That's my theory.
Well, yeah, I'm on board with that theory. Too. I mean, you have a urine stain outside of a door. So whoever strangled her didn't want to look at her face while they were doing it. They're pulling her, you know, pulling it while she's on the other side of the door. When you die, you urinate. Her urine is right there in the basement. So it explains the death scene. You know, it's not that difficult. But the thing is that, you know, TBI, I don't think they were on board with the whole Mexican border kidnapping either, because the Amber Alert was not extended outside of Tennessee until literally, gosh, I want to say June 28th. And it was only Virginia State Police that picked it up, and they didn't do it as an Amber Alert. They did it as an endangered child. You know, if you happen to see this child or you know something, then reach out. It did not go nationwide.
No. And Virginia was the only bordering state that did it. So now that kind of leads me to believe that maybe TBI told the Virginia State Police something.
Yeah, they must have something that they are looking at, because their pressers, TBI's pressers, in the beginning were upbeat. They seemed to be confident they could come up with something. The last presser was depressing. You could tell something was wrong. They had maybe seen something or discovered something that had them feeling down.
One thing that I don't like is Mom's timeline of events, because each time she talks about it, it's a little bit different. You know, she'll say that she and Grandma were outside planting, and then Summer wanted to go inside and get toys, and then that's when Summer disappeared indoors, was never seen again. And then the next time she said that she and Summer and Grandma were planting flowers, and that they all went into the home together to wash their hands. And that Summer got some candy from her grandma and then asked if she could leave the camper to travel across the yard back to the actual family home.
So like the setup here is a country property, and then you have the main family home, and then you have Grandma's camper. So Grandma just happened to be in town. She's visiting from, I believe it's Wisconsin. The family has moved around like crazy. They lived in Wisconsin. They've lived in Utah. Summer's name is actually Summer Moon Utah Wells. I mean, they even named her after the state. So, I mean, somehow they ended up, at least Candace and her husband ended up in, Tennessee. But the grandma, from what I understand, still lives in Wisconsin. She's just visiting. So she's got her camper set up, and they're supposedly planting flowers, whatever. And Summer is going back and forth between the camper and the house. But like you said, this story, it continues to get embellished, and it gets longer, and then it changes. And, you know, at one point she's like, I physically walked Summer all the way across the yard to the camper. You know, I made sure that she went inside. But then she comes back and says, well, I watched her go inside. And then it changes too. And then I told the boys, watch Summer. Well, if you just watched her enter the house, how are you verbal with the boys? They're inside.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And here's the other thing. They live in the middle of nowhere. Everybody's used to running around. I am sure that Summer made the trip from the camper to the house a million times. And Mom probably never cared or never watched or anything like that.
Well, most moms don't. I mean, if you're in your own property and your kid is like, Mom, I'm going to the garage. Okay, you know, go to the garage and then go back in the front door and do it all over again. I mean, it's your house. And, you know, Summer, she's of age. She's 5. I assume she knows her way around her own home. And like I said, the grandmother and the mother, they're outside planting. They're within earshot. You know, if she's crying, she's hurt, they're going to hear her. She's got these, you know, these brothers that are listening out for her. And you know how brothers are. They look out for your sisters.
Well, they do, but the thing is, they're just playing games, and they didn't hear Mom because they're inside in their games. Did she shout, "Hey, watch your sister"? No, because this is what happened. Summer's always going back and forth. Summer's doing this. Summer's playing there. Summer's playing here. Summer's inside, outside. Grandma and Mom are outside, inside, in the camper, in the house. The boys, She didn't do that. She is changing the story after the fact to make herself look better as a mom, which I kind of get, because she feels guilty. She's like, well, if I had actually walked her to the house, then perhaps this wouldn't have happened, or something like that. So,
yeah, I think that you have a very good point on that, about trying to get the public on board with her being a decent parent. You know, she's trying to tell everyone, I did the right thing. I walked her physically. you know, into the other dwelling, and I made sure of this, that, and the other when, you know, to us, we're judging. Of course, we have to. That's how you solve things. It's too much details. We know that parents don't do that. You know, you might have watched her walk across the way, but you didn't hold her hand. And just know it's way too many details. It's suspicious, but
it is. You know, she didn't walk her across. You know, her latest walked her across. It told the boys, hey, keep an eye on her. Even though, remember, she's only going in to get a toy and then she's coming back outside. But okay. So keep an eye on her. And then I'm going to, because I'm also, in addition to being a great mother, I'm also a great daughter. So what I did was then I went back to grandma's camper, because we had to help her adjust her knee brace because grandma couldn't do it herself, even though she'd been planting succulents all day. And grandma reportedly visited the ER earlier in the day to an injury to her knee.
Yeah, so, it's unclear if that injury is old or new. If it was, I don't see the ER trying to have follow-up appointments right now, especially with COVID-19 and the Delta variant and all of that. I believe you would follow up with a specialist, but I mean, we don't know the details behind that, but allegedly she did go to the ER and then, I don't know, then they go on to have this busy day. You know, they're out planting flowers and we'll talk about other places that they went. And Summer is, you know, she's inside of her own home playing, and the mother said that she was only gone for 2 minutes. That was it. And when she returned from her mother's camper back to the family dwelling, she called for Summer. Normally, yeah, Summer answers right away. She did not answer, so the mother was alarmed, went looking for her, and found nothing. And that's when she called her husband, not on the phone, because the phone is choppy. She called him on Facebook. Supposedly.
No, it's okay. She wants to use the internet. I get that. And, I mean, because even the father said that Summer entered the home and the boys were on the internet, like always, rolls his eyes during the interview. So, obviously, internet is strong there. Cell phone coverage is spotty. So you're going to use your internet. You're going to call on Facebook, WhatsApp, whatever. That's how you're making your calls. I get that. I'm okay with that part. It kind of surprising to me that they don't have a landline with it being that remote. For just in case the internet goes down, then, and you don't have a cell phone. So, you know,
yeah,
what are you gonna
I have
do?
Not read anything about a landline. If they have one, I'm not aware of it, but the 911 call supposedly didn't come from a landline. So that's just the best information we have at the moment, unless TBI comes in and corrects it or adds more. But, you know, in her recent interview, which was, what's the date on that? I mean, she did not publicly speak to the media and address them for the longest time. I mean, we're talking June 15th up until June 28th. It was not till the 28th that the mother actually faced the media and said something. And she sounded highly medicated, out of her mind, well rehearsed in her story. And again, the father went on to tell several versions of why Summer's head was shaved. They don't seem to be on the same page. And again, she's distancing herself from her husband, which is highly suspicious. And you just have this whole flip-flopping back and forth. But, you know, the public's always saying, you know, the family doesn't talk enough. You know, we need more. But when she does talk, they tear her up. And that is just a prime reason why families don't talk more in these type of cases. Just to point that out, because they know, damned if I do, damned if I don't.
What the family should do, and this is my opinion, in these kind of situations, cooperate fully with law enforcement just as much as possible. And you don't really owe the media anything. The police department has spokespeople for that.
Yes, they do. If you are, I want to say, preferably on the right side and you don't have anything to hide.
Exactly.
You know, if you're ducking and dodging law enforcement also, I don't think their press is going to help you, because TBI's press, you know, they couldn't be beat. The female that came out speaking, she was on board with the family, it seems like, at first, initially. And then as the pressers go on, like I said, it gets a little bit more depressing, a little more critical. I'm trying not to be critical of the family. And I always tell Inti before we go to record, you know, I like to hear what you have to say, because I'm the more critical one. You know, he helps me stay balanced, because, I mean, I'm judging like crazy.
Well, it's just the whole, even something simple. I like I said earlier, I get why Candace came up with a bunch of different versions and to make herself look good about Summer going to the house and stuff. I get that. But what I don't get is just a simple thing about why Summer's hair was shaved. Everybody, okay, she got lice in it and she just wanted to shave it. She started it and she shaved. Great. That should be the story. Or, she wanted to be like her brothers. It's great, but it can't be every single reason. And so.
I think this is why they tell you, appoint one person in the family to be the spokesperson and then everyone else be quiet, because this is what happens. A lot of people start talking. You get all these stories that are just, the narratives are swaying wildly. And then the public is judging because they automatically think you're lying. They probably had lies. So they're probably embarrassed. That's probably why the kid's head is shaved. It's not that big of a deal. She lives out in the country. She doesn't go to school. Only the boys go to school. That's why they're dressed, a tad bit nicer. A lot of people will point out, because the parents have a very heavy presence on multiple social media forums. Summer is not always well-dressed. She can be dirty looking at times, bruises, malnourished looking. There's a lot to judge there. The boys, like I said, they look a little better because they're going to school. They have to be a bit more presentable because they're around people more often.
Plus, they're probably getting meals at school.
Yes.
And here's the thing is that they didn't need to be embarrassed about the lice. The lice infestation was so bad in Tennessee at that time. There was one county or something where a child died from lice, which is something I've never heard of in my life.
Well, that's because, again, they will blame that we have an influx of, new people that are coming to our country for opportunity. And, they want them to get inoculated and to, just get treatments and stuff before they get started here. And it doesn't always work out like that because, you have a lot of people that need to be treated at once. So it's not always their fault. But that county did have some type of wild outbreak and the child died. Again, this family will go on to blame lots of people, lots of things. That's just what's happening here. But, going back to the accidental theory, people were like, what kind of candy did Summer eat? If she honestly had the opportunity to eat candy, it was supposedly a pecan candy. I'm not familiar with what that is. Could she have choked on it?
Sure. I mean, if it's like a pecan cluster or some kind of turtle or something like that, the chocolate with the caramel or something, for sure she could have choked. She has a nut allergy that nobody knew about.
Gosh, that would be awful. Imagine that. You don't know. And then she's having anaphylaxis and she's unsupervised, right? She's in her playroom or something and you don't know until it's too late. Or did she fall down the stairs? And like you said, those brothers, they're on the electronics. They don't hear her. They don't hear a thud or they don't care to go check it out. And then they find her too late.
And then there's the theory, hey, she drowned earlier in the day at a local watering hole.
That's the red flag right there. The fact that the family visited a local watering hole prior to this entire situation playing out, prior to the 911 call, the hysterics, the crazy stories. You have the mother, Candace, taking Summer and then a teenage neighbor who was only 15 to a local watering hole. And I'm talking like a dirty river. it's a place where a young child would need heavy supervision. It's very deep in some parts. The current can get out from under you if you're not careful.
Yeah, rivers are not good places to go swimming. They're just not. Unless it's a very controlled situation with a wide open kind of... There are situations, but for the most part, a five-year-old doesn't need to be swimming in a river.
And if you look at, like I said, they have very heavy presence on social media. A lot of photos of drugs. It's just the way it is. Out in the clear open, and, in their multiple dwellings. A lot of photos of Summer when she's at the watering hole. Normally she has on her floaties. She has on, she has a boogie board and things like that. In the newer TikTok video of Summer playing at the watering hole on the date that she supposedly disappeared. If that TikTok video honestly was shot by Candace on the date she disappeared, she does not have on the floaties or... the boogie board, she's in a tank dress. She's standing out in the middle of the water. This 15-year-old boy is splashing her. She seems really annoyed, uncomfortable. She's not that into it. It's a different kind of day. It seems like maybe parents had their guard down, or maybe it's the case of a child who's like, no, I don't want to put floaties on that day. And maybe the mom didn't want to fight with her. We weren't there.
What is the 15-year-old there?
Okay, so... again, rumor mill, 15-year-old. So he's a neighbor, right? So he has a custody situation going on. The person that had custody of him lived in Tennessee in the neighborhood where Candace lived. Candace was spending a lot of time with this minor, and you can speculate on why. It may have got it so bad at one point that she had a fallen out with his custodians, you know, the people that were looking after him, and told to stay away from him. And despite that, she invites him to the watering hole anyways, and he goes. And while they're there, she's giving him supposedly twisted lemonade, which is something that I believe at least one of the law enforcement houses has said, yeah, you know, she agreed to it. She agreed that at least happened.
So she's contributing to the delinquency of a minor. And, you know, having this, we don't know if he was intoxicated or whatever, and he's playing with the 5-year-old. We don't know how distracted mom was to be with the teenager, and perhaps wasn't keeping an eye on Summer as well as one could. You notice that none of the other brothers are there. Dad's not there. Grandma's not there. But she takes Summer, so that way it looks more innocent, I guess. But
it was strange that she didn't take the boys, right? It seems like if you were going to the favorite watering hole, then it would be a family event. But her going with just, you know, this neighbor boy, and then the rumors surrounding what may or may not have been going on between these two, you know, that, yes, you know, again, I will judge that. But he says that while they looked away, or while something was going on, you know, he's paying attention to Candace. He realized that Summer had went underwater, and he imagines that she was underwater for at least a minute. He went out into the water, he pulled her out, and we don't know from there what really happened, but he said she looked fine at first, but you know, he's buzzed. So, you know, as he's looking back now, did he realize the damage? It's really unclear.
Yeah. I mean, he's 15. He's the one who's jumping in after her instead of Candace. So we don't know if mom is buzzed, drunk, under the influence of drugs, trying to sober up, getting these stories straight. It's just...
Well, yeah, and this leads to why the 911 call, if this was an accidental death or any type of accident happened, why that call was delayed. Because if they were buzzed, then you have her allegedly contributing to the delinquency of a minor, which is an offense. And then you have her being buzzed while allowing a child to play in a river that's probably not even deemed suitable to swim in to begin with. And then you have a child drown. They don't report it immediately. You know, she's trying to sober up. Maybe she's trying to cover up evidence. You know, people do that. You know, if you're trying to clean up a scene, you're trying to buy time. If they waited hours before they called 911,
yeah, I mean, they didn't call till 6:30.
Yeah, I mean, then there would have been no saving that kid. If she didn't drown right away, you know, saying the drowning theory is a thing. If she didn't drown right away and she died of dry drowning later, then that's sad, because she could have been saved had they called 911 immediately.
But, and this is all my opinion, if they called 911, then Candace was going to get busted. And Candace was going to get busted not just for whatever was going on with the 15-year-old, whether it's sexual or drugs or alcohol, but also going to get busted by her quote-unquote husband. Does he know that all of this is going on? Did she say, oh, I've not, you know, so he's going to know all of this happened. And Candace probably said, oh, I can fix this, you know, she'll be fine, whatever. Waits a couple hours and it doesn't get better. So then calls 911.
And then also the teenager's family would have known that he was with Candace, and he wasn't supposed to be, because the family wasn't speaking to Candace.
I mean, this is a bad situation. If you think about it, she's not supposed to be with this 15-year-old, and it's got so bad that whatever they're doing, that his family, the guardians, you got to stay away. Now, yes, we're in the middle of the country, and I'm not going to call the police yet, but you need to stay away from him. And instead of staying away from him, Candace is just like, hey, come on, let's go, you know, down to the river, drugs, drink, whatever. And
Yeah, and I mean, if there is any truth at all, which there's no evidentiary support that this is true, but a lot of people talk about the fact that kids will sneak sips of things. You know, if you leave an alcoholic beverage out, they can sneak sips. Mm-hmm. And if it's the kind of family to where that's not really frowned upon, you know, then also you may be reluctant to report an accident to 911 because you fear that they'll take your child to the hospital. The first thing they do is draw blood. And then, wow, your kid's got alcohol in her system and they're judging you. You know, how did this happen? You're like, I don't know. She must have done it behind my back. And they're like, yeah, sure.
So you have father. He's at work. That's a story. We have nothing to doubt that, you know, his story at this point. And honestly, he, like I said at the beginning, he has said some horrific things about his daughter. But, you know, he gets called at work when Candace couldn't find Summer. So she calls the husband. Then he calls 911 while also telling her to call 911. So did he call from work? And she calls from home. Because by the time he gets home, neighbors and family are all over the property looking for Summer.
Yeah, he said he sped home, so surveillance cameras in town, at least from the way he said that he came, should have picked up his vehicle traveling at a high rate of speed, or at least put him where he needed to be at that specific time. That can be checked out. He did show up, and there were neighbors. There's videos just right out of the gate of neighbors and people searching for Summer. I mean, word had spread very quickly through this community that she was missing.
Yeah, and honestly, if there is video of him in town leaving, then he's, at least as far as the pre-stuff, he seems to be clear now, some kind of accessory after the fact or something like that, that's to be determined. But I get the feeling that Candace really didn't want him to know.
No, because she's off with a 15-year-old, and, you know, imagine that he finds that out, especially someone that she is maybe not supposed to be with, and maybe he did not have all of that information until after the fact. You know, if he or anyone, you know, was complicit in any potential crime that went on to happen, and then you learn after the fact there's this 15-year-old involved, imagine the anger. You know, that might explain why these two are going by different names. You know, they might be putting on a good face for the public, but behind closed doors, they may not be happy with each other. And the community said, yeah, you know, we showed up to help look for her because it's a child. You know, we care about the child. We want to find her. But at the same time, you have to be careful with this family because, you know, we know them to be grifters, constantly soliciting for money, clothing. But when you give, it's kind of questionable as to where the stuff goes. You know, we don't exactly see the clothes on Summer. You know, some of the things that we give her go on to disappear. You know, the parents will claim, oh, she just gave them away. She doesn't want them. But, you know, when Summer already doesn't have a lot, you know, would she do that?
Yeah. And it's kind of weird to me in the sense also, okay, yeah, they're giving clothes to Summer. And what are the parents doing with them? Are they selling them for 50 cents or something on eBay? I mean, how much are you getting for used hand-me-down clothing?
Well, see, that's the concern, is that they believe that there was some selling, you know, going on. People are donating the clothes or donating whatever, and then it's getting sold and then used for purposes that people are not real happy about. Like I said, if you just cruise through their social media, you come up with your own opinion as to what the community sees that they may or may not like. I don't think I would personally give if I saw things like that. I think I would have a lot of questions. You know, Summer, supposedly they were given money to fix her teeth. Her teeth were rotted out. The boys' teeth appear to be rotten. You know, this is all per locals. And like I said, they just dress slightly better only because they go to school.
And there's this question of whether or not they're church hoppers. Those are the kind of people that go to a different church, get a bunch of stuff, and then move on to the next church when the donations stop. That's what locals say that the family was doing. I have no idea.
Yeah, we have no idea. We just go by what they say. And these people, they sign their name and they give the church and everything. And they said for a while, you know, they felt very generous towards the family. They offered cash, clothing, food. But eventually these relationships would sour because they did not see their money, the clothing and whatnot, going towards what they believed it should be going for. So when that happens, then you have people that they pull out. They don't want to help anymore. You know, they sit back and watch. And so when the people quit the family, well, then the family quit the church, and then they move on to the next organization that they believe will be very charitable towards them. And then the cycle repeats. I don't know how many churches are in the area they could possibly run through.
I mean, I'm sure it's probably at least, you know, a good handful. And they're obviously, it looks like that they're grifting, and it looks like every church has the same story to tell about the family. But like you said, the locals aren't blaming the kids, which is why they're anxious to go look for summer.
Yeah, they feel sorry for them. I mean, this is a family that one of the locals witnessed wolf rats going in and out of the home. And she actually called CPS. She did a whole YouTube video chronicling how she tried to save Summer Wells. And she believes if CPS had not allowed the child to allegedly fall through the system, then Summer would still be here today. She does not see this story having a good outcome because she is well aware of the family, and she's made her opinion well known. And, you know, it's just, again, try not to judge so harshly, because everyone grieves different and people will act different in tragic situations. But collectively, again, all of these details matter. And the father himself has openly admitted that he has an on off again relationship with God and the church. And you can see why. It's because if when people stop giving, maybe that's a turnoff to him, you know, and he moves on to the next one.
So then there's the story that said, oh, that CPS didn't do anything because the family's informants and stuff like that. And they have somebody at the police department who covers for them. And yeah.
Like, how many people can be informants? You know, this has come up in just almost every story that we've covered. There's always this one rumor of somebody being an informant. And I'm telling you, they cannot all be informants.
They're not an informant.
Come on. I don't see this family being any type of cartel or mobsters or anything like that. I mean, for the most part, they stay broke. They're doing the best they can. You know, they're living off of donations and then what work, I guess, Don Wells does.
Yeah.
They're doing the best they can. I don't really see informant activity.
No, and law enforcement has spent a ton of money looking for Summer, whether it's the FBI, TBI, search and rescue agencies. I mean, this is a lot of money. And apparently the most amount of money spent on child recovery mission post-COVID. And all of these agencies, they showed up for Summer.
It's incredible. There are so many children missing right now from multiple states that have not received anywhere near the type of attention that Summer Wells has. I mean, it is mind-blowing. You had the FBI bring in their top child abduction profilers. And I was asking you in the beginning, I'm like, is this their practice field, or are they really going through the motions? Because everything that you're reading from the community screams that, you know, what the FBI is potentially looking into is probably not a valid story. You know, there's probably more to it. And yet here they are, you know, and they've been there for weeks. They just scaled back the big, big searches.
Well, it is a blonde hair, blue eyed girl.
And that's been brought up too. They, you know, people, the critics will argue, does it always have to be blonde hair and blue eyed to get anyone to do anything? And, you know, my argument would be was that I watched the FBI work so diligently on Asha Degree to where they were so frustrated and in tears that they could not figure it out. So no.
No, but it helps. But anyway. Everybody's there. And the thing is, when you get all these law enforcement agencies, then you have the family being surveilled because there's so many law enforcement agencies. Okay, well, we don't need you helping here. Why don't you watch the family? Why don't you dig into their social media? Why don't you dig into this 15-year-old and all this kind of stuff? And why is the FBI involved, despite no proof that Summer crossed state lines? Well, I mean, kidnapping is always a possibility. Plus, when the kids are under the age of 12, it's kind of a gray area, right?
So, yeah, you have that tender age law, which will bring in the FBI every time. You know, if there's a missing child under the age of 12, they'll duck their head in. If law enforcement, the local law enforcement doesn't run them off, they will stick around. And it seems like that the locals here, they invited all agencies on board. They are not trying to cover up anything. They've opened the door to anyone that was a legitimate rescue group. You know, they said, you know, we don't want volunteers. If you're not registered, don't come out here. Don't touch anything. Don't start meddling, because we don't want the pitfalls of all the previous investigations that people complain about. You know, let the FBI and TBI do their job. And, you know, it seemed to be going good for a while. And then when there was no results on Summer being recovered, that's when the locals stepped in. And of course, they started meddling, and they did find stuff and start to tear TBI apart.
Because locals, they know every little TBI, Gray, you came in, where'd you come in from? You know, Knoxville or whatever. And, but the locals are locals, and they know everywhere that you could hide a body. They know everywhere things are going on. And so, you know, a local went out there, filmed his experience, and it's just kind of interesting.
He was like, I watched your TikTok video and I realized the natural background, and I was able to track down where that was because I swim there all the time. And I went there and I found twisted lemonade cans that were just thrown in the woods, and a bag of twisted lemonade cans, and then a purple piece of fabric or something floating in the water. You know, Summer's favorite color is purple. Just all these things that were very natural and looked untouched. He's like, if they've been here, it certainly doesn't look like it. But then you see law enforcement say they combed the river and they used, you know, the different sonar and stuff, and they didn't find anything. But it doesn't appear that they dragged the lake. But they also said they didn't need to. You know, they didn't feel like that she was there. And again, it may be because there is another living witness outside of Candace. And depending on what he's saying, you know, he might place the body being somewhere else, you know, if there's a body.
We have the teen, this 15-year-old, and his story kind of changes so much that, so he's removed from the custody of the person that he was with in Tennessee. And his biological father in New York is granted immediate custody. And the lead detective on Summer's case says, yeah, you can go to New York. And we can assume he's well supervised. I'm okay with this, because the people in Tennessee did a crap job. I mean, yes, they got upset, but I could just see Candace going over there and just manipulating the hell out of him. Or Candace's husband doing something to him, you know.
Exactly. Could you imagine him going over there and breaking his neck or something? Because, I mean, you have a guy, he's got a domestic violence record. You know, if he hears that someone is messing with his wife, what could that anger lead to? Probably no good. So I agree with you on the kid being, you know, their best witness being removed and taken to New York, and a much safer place. And, you know, the teen's father went on to paraphrase that, you know, he's mortified that his son is linked to a case like this. And, you know, he doesn't think that the facts actually add up. And, you know, he's got a lot of questions for the family. And it seems like that this teen is set to turn maybe state witness if any type of crime can be pinned on the family members.
Yeah, he's lawyered up, and that tells us something that we're not going to like is coming. I just plain and simple, you know, he's got a lawyer. He's 15 years old, probably the best kind of state witness, because of the fact that he probably wasn't going to go to jail anyway, because he's 15 years old. But, you know, we've got this story where possibly, and again, these are all my opinions, I'm just speculating out loud, but you have this adult who's plying him with booze and whatever else, we don't know, has been warned off, still coming after this kid, coming after this kid, coming after this kid. Under the influence of this adult, possibly buzzed, he's the one who actually, you know, maybe saves Summer from the water. And because Candace didn't, if it was up to Candace, Summer would be dead for sure right when it happened. And this teen boy saw a lot. Candace put him in her car and dropped him off at home. Now, that story hasn't changed.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. It seems like he was there from beginning to end, from when the accident happened up until the point of drop off. And, you know, Candace goes on to take Summer, and she picks up the grandma, you know, she stops by the house and picks up grandma. And then her, Summer, and grandma go to the Priceless grocery store. So instead of taking your daughter home, if something did happen, and let her, you know, recover or whatnot, no, they're going to the grocery store. And apparently, you know, this boy is not with them because a video leaked, or at least Candace wants you to believe it leaked. and is supposedly up inside the vehicle. And you see Summer, she's slumped over a gallon of cold milk. And, you know, the thing is, though, is that she's dressed like it's fall in Tennessee. And, you know, on June 15th, it was 78 that day in the shade and about 87 in the sun. So, I mean, that picture, almost like a similar picture, appeared on her timeline for a while. And then she made it private. And it was months before June. So I think it might be a recycled video.
Yeah, I mean, they just they want you to see it. And Candace said to a YouTuber, oh, go ahead and post it, you know, where Summer's looking cute in the car and all of this kind of stuff. And there is no way that Summer's wearing a jacket and fall clothing. It's just Candace wanted this video out there for some reason, even though she doesn't want to talk to the media. There's no timestamp on it.
I mean, I don't trust it. What are the odds of the kid wearing the same clothes, propped up against again, milk jug again, you know, and then that happens twice. And I don't, it's sketchy. I mean, again, you know, people can find the video on YouTube and judge for themselves, but then you have grandma supposedly driving, you know, do you see a leg brace? You know, let me know. This just seems like there's a lot wrong with it.
No, I mean, the grandmother's driving and she accidentally shoots the video while trying to take a cute photo of Summer. Okay. The video being an accident, okay, because the shot's going everywhere. But it's just a repeat from you know, oh, we got to find a photo. We got to find something. Oh, something from a grocery store and this kind of stuff. And
because it starts out with a still shot of Summer. So somehow this camera goes from a still shot directly into a video. So you get all this motion after you see Summer just being completely still, and it almost seems manipulated, like they took, you know, the really old photo that was appearing on her Facebook months prior, and then they put it together with some maybe new video, and then they offered it up. Yeah, sure, you have our permission to post it. Please share it. It's a leaked video. We're a little embarrassed, but you know what? Use it. Again, it does them no favors because Summer, you know, whether that's a new video or old video, she doesn't look good in that shot either. You know, there looks like there's a lot wrong, so...
Well, we already know that there's a lot of things wrong with her. Now, here's the thing. Summer didn't go into the grocery store.
Supposedly, no. Because, I mean, the law enforcement, they visit the Priceless. They talk to store clerks. You have to imagine the store has surveillance because they care about their products more than anything. And whatever law enforcement gathered from that, it seems like Summer may have been in the hot car for 45 minutes.
No. Summer's not in the car. And 45 minutes in the hot sun in a jacket, and she would have been dead from that.
And yeah, I mean, supposedly, you know, you have the two adults. So if only one went in, then one would have had to stay with her. But people will argue, oh, well, they probably had the air blasting. But if you watch the video that Candace provided to everyone publicly on that day, the drive to the grocery store and back from the grocery store, they have the windows down. So what air would Summer have been? What's accessible to her? You know, yeah. 45 minutes in the hot sun, dressed in fall clothing with the windows down. That's miserable.
And we have Candace, because she's been, you know, boozing it up all morning, supposedly, maybe, probably. And, you know, they're playing with a phone in this car. And, you know, did the grandma, she visited the ER and everything's okay now? Has she had any medicine? Is she okay to drive? She's probably better than Candace at this point. And people want Candace to talk, but every time they release something, it hurts the family more. And I go back to why Dad had different answers about, I don't think Dad was there all the time. And I don't think Dad necessarily knows the whole story about the shaving of the head and the lice and all that kind of stuff. That's just kind of my thing about it, because so far I haven't seen anything where Dad needed a reason to lie. And
well, I mean, it seems like that he worked a lot, and if he wasn't there, then perhaps he doesn't know what went on, and maybe he was an absentee dad. I don't know if he was hands-on or not. I just know that he has that domestic violence record. And then for a moment, Candace had taken out a protection order. But, you know, love, she dropped it. And then they apologized to each other. Actually, he was kind of ugly enough to say, well, she apologized to me. And I was like, wow. And so that went away. And I don't know if they became a family unit again or if he just decided he was going to work all the time. And, you know, some dads are like that. They just, they do themselves. They stay away. They let mom handle it or whatever. But
Also maybe they needed the money. Maybe the guy was working 60 hours a week so they could have some stuff or whatever. Anyway, so Summer never gets out of the car and it just.
So why would she need to go? You know, why would you not drop her off at home? Why would you pick up grandma? Why did either of them need to go if Summer was never going to get out of the car and grandma wasn't going to get out of the car or whoever, whatever adult stayed behind, if any adult did, you know, it's crazy that they would have her sleep in the back of the car like that, you know, just like driving around a weekend at Bernie's if that kid was indeed not breathing.
Yeah, I mean, it's an alibi, I guess. Maybe she wanted to talk it out with grandma.
Yeah, but I mean, let me ask you this. And for a legal standpoint, right? So you get this lady in cuffs and then you put her on the stand and her excuse is, well, I was so traumatized. I was driving around my allegedly dead daughter. And then they say, okay, well, maybe you were traumatized and crazy from the experience, but you had another logical adult, or we assume to be logical, sitting next to you. I mean, is that filet au deux? Is that madness for two? Is that excusable? Or
no, grandma. Grandma is. It's not. You can't say you're. Okay, you can say you're traumatized, but grandma's not traumatized. And if Summer's in the back seat, grandma's going, we need to go to the ER. We need to take care of this child. My guess, and this again is just a guess, is that Summer was never in the car, and that something was going on back at home. And that, hey, grandma, we got to go to the store. We got to be gone for about 45 minutes, an hour.
I would like to know everything they purchased at the store outside of the milk. And the only reason we know they purchased milk is because that is what is in the video that Candace provided to the public. And, you know, the thing is, you're willing to take, you know, grandma to the ER, but not your kid. You know, you weren't worried about being intoxicated or anything like that when grandma went in. But when it came to Summer, what was it about her to where if something happened, you know, you could not render aid? That is just the biggest question for me.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Summer was ever in the car?
No. And if she was in the car, how could she have been in a seat? And the reason I ask that is because the TBI goes on to tell the public, again, they're soliciting heavy for tips. Look, we have got to find this maroon Toyota Tacoma. It is pertinent that we speak to the driver of this vehicle. They go on to describe it as having white buckets hanging off the side of it and a very specific ladder rack. And they are soliciting this like crazy. They said it was in the area of interest at the time that something may or may not have happened to Summer. And this person is a potential witness and they have to talk to them.
Yeah, a witness. So don't everybody get all crazy or whatever. It's a witness. And yes. I guarantee you everybody in the town knows whose truck that is, because a Toyota Tacoma with buckets hanging off of it and a ladder, everybody knows who it belongs to.
Yeah, I mean, they get very specific, you know, 1990s, older model, you know, all the statistics are on the TBI website. And you can also Google Summer Wells and just all those tips will come up because they are, like I said, they're soliciting like crazy. Someone has to know who this is. Is it another contractor? My concern is, what did they see in the buckets or the back of the bed? What are they really looking for? I think if Summer was transported, this is a total opinion, it was not sitting upright in a car. If that is true, where is she? You know what? Why is she missing today?
Yeah. It would be more likely to be a Casey Anthony thing in the trunk, I would imagine, rather than in a...
Gosh, and that's where my mind went when this case first came up. And, you know, you start talking about the country and then people driving around and then a child that may have accidentally had something happen to it. And the parents are, they panic. So, you know, you don't want to find them in a trash bag somewhere.
I think that the reason Candace finally talked on the 28th is because she knows about the teenager lawyering up. And she's trying to come up with some kind of, hey, some kind of sympathy. Hey, I want my possible jurors to realize that, you know, hey, and all this, and there's a video, and look, she was fine. She was fine. Let's talk about this just for a second, because we talked about the beginning of the timeline. So we have grandma going to the emergency room at some point in the morning that day. Okay. Then at some point during the day, still, we have Candace and Summer and the 15-year-old going down to the river, where they're there for however long amount of time. We'll say, you know, an hour when all this happens. Maybe an hour and a half. We'll call it an hour. Then something happens, whatever. Okay, now Candace has to go drop off Dude. And then Candace goes back and gets Grandma. And all this time, Summer's just in the back seat. Never gets out. We go get Grandma. So then we're going to go to the grocery store. And it takes a while to get to the grocery store. Then we're there for 45 minutes. Then we leave the grocery store. We come all the way back. Then what we decide to do is, you know, it hasn't been a busy enough day. Let's plant some succulents and let's do that for a couple of hours.
Yeah, this is an exceptionally busy family, you know, all this stuff in one day. And, you know, just I think what bothers me the most is the parents are referring to Summer in past tense at this point. You know, she was, you know, a lovely child and, you know, was this and was that. That's never a good sign. I mean, what makes them think that she's not coming back unless A, they know, or B, they're satisfied with some type of answer and they don't cry or show emotions. Again, everyone grieves differently, but there's not emotion there. And the fact that I told you to tuck the statement from Don in your hat because it was crazy, the one about the border. His second statement is, well, the boys are handling it just fine. They're not that bothered, especially my youngest one. He's really not bothered by it. Who talks like that? It's like he's setting it up to almost, I don't know, blame even a different party. You know, like if I can't blame people that are coming into our country for a better life, I'm going to blame the next best person. You know, maybe I'll blame minors who I think can't get in trouble. You know, again, go listen to those interviews and then judge for yourself. Who talks about their children like that? Oh, they don't care. They're fine.
Maybe he's going to blame it on the 15-year-old.
And that's probably why the 15-year-old's all lawyered up. You know, what will Candace do? What will she tell her husband?
And see, that's the thing. It's what she's been telling him, and then he goes and talks, and it just nothing adds up. And I'm sure that the TBI and local law enforcement, they're like, oh, we got to find Summer and, you know, the story. And we just know a little bit now. And then, oh, it's been a couple of weeks and God, none of this is making any sense at all. And you know that they know everything now about the relationship between Candace and the 15-year-old because they probably went absolutely and talked to the Guardian and they know everything that's happened.
Is still talking, like as of this moment, he is still talking to people. He is like a wide open book. I mean, the kid was in event. He was initially talking, the teen, but he quit talking. And then his father stepped in and started just telling the tea, you know, this doesn't look right. It doesn't sound right. All of it's hinky. And I mean, he's out there, you know, if you're on social media, he has his own and, you know, there's a lot of screenshots out there. He's busy. I don't think the TBI is deep as a plate like people claim. I think that the FBI profilers are onto this family.
Yeah. And you know, the guy that who went out there, the local to make the video, it was nice to see the video because when you think, okay, just the local watering hole, and then you realize, okay, well, there's people there and, you know, there's, you know, somebody was paddle boarding and stuff and there was somebody out boating. But it was the thing about the twisted lemonade where all the cans were just on the ground. Did TBI not want to, maybe they didn't think it was necessary because everybody already admitted that it was happening. So they didn't need to go out there and look for that. However, do we want to go over there and look for the body? Because perhaps she drowned. Do we want to go over there and look?
I mean, if that is a potential crime scene, then yeah, it should have been taped off and they should have collected at least the trash bag and some of the cans. If not, people were very upset that, you know, they're very into forensics and the DNA. They believe that's going to matter if you can find the teen's DNA on those cans. But most importantly, the collecting of the trash bag, you know, is there any blood, gauze, anything that suggests that something torrid happened at the river scene? You know, was Summer injured? You know, nosebleed? Did she get socked upside the head? You know, rough housing with this teen? Did she just go under the water? You know, it seems like that stuff was untouched. It just looked too natural the way that the guy found it, as if no one had discovered it prior to him. But like you said, maybe TBI and FBI thought it doesn't matter. You know, maybe the witness is good enough, he's credible enough, or Candace has confessed and said, yeah, this part at least happened.
Yeah, so we were out there boozing it up. Yeah, I admit that. You know, if you want to give me a ticket or whatever, give me a ticket. So, you know, they go, okay, well, we don't really need to go look at that. But if it's any kind of speculation about, especially not even speculation, and we have the teen saying that Summer went underwater, that she was under there for a minute and he pulled her out, you know, okay. And then the next question to the teen is, did Summer get in the car with you when Candace dropped you off? And the teen goes, yeah, she was in the car. I don't remember exactly how well she was doing or poorly she was doing. She looked okay. The teen gets dropped off. And at that point, we don't know any, he doesn't know anything anymore. So then it's all on Candace. And what happened? Did Summer die in the back seat? Did she panic? Did she go get grandma? She certainly didn't call dad because dad didn't leave work until much later, after everybody knows that, you know, Summer's supposedly missing.
Yeah, there seems to be a huge time gap in between what happened and then the 911 call. And I think that the boys in the house are also going to be good witnesses if they will talk. You know, I don't know what type of family dynamic they have. Are they, I know they're fearful of their father. That's been put out there. But if they are separated from their father, will they talk and say, hey, Summer never came through the house, or we never saw our mom? You know, these things did or did not happen, and help TBI clear this up. And then, you know, the more details you clear up, then the closer you'll get to what is sadly probably a recovery mission.
So let's talk about this for a second. Just kind of fast forward, because I want to talk about it for a second. Grandma is not a normal grandma. So when we're thinking whether or not grandma will go along with this, you need to realize that grandma is bad grandma.
Yeah.
And
she's
grandma,
naughty grandma.
She is in a long-term relationship with a registered sex offender that she met when they lived in Wisconsin. Okay. So this is, she's got the camper. The sex offender lover was back in Wisconsin. Okay. He's clean, but I just want you to know that grandma is dating a sex offender. And this is not a sex offender who had some kind of, well, they're all horrible, but this is especially heinous. She's hooking up with a sex offender who has a preference for preteens. So grandma's okay with that. Grandma has this lover who's like that. And I think you also need to realize that grandma's not grandma, like 70 years old grandma. And the other thing that you need to know is, so grandma is like that. Then Candace, this family, besides bad grandma, you also have Candace's sister.
Yeah, this is just another crazy mystery. Her 21-year-old sister, Rose Bly, disappeared from Wisconsin in 2009. Never seen or heard from again. She'd arranged to meet friends at a certain location, never made it there. Her vehicle was located at a post office, not in the town that she was going to meet people in, but in a town that she had lived in as a child. And the thing is that, again, it wasn't her destination, but it was a destination for truckers, seedy activity, and there's just not any evidence released in Rose's case. There's nothing to go on. You know, if law enforcement has collected anything, they're holding it close to the vest, and you would think that post offices would have good surveillance, right? Well, the public has never seen it.
It kind of makes it sound, at least the way I look at it, is that she was kind of, I'm going to say it in a polite way. She worked at truckers' rest stops providing services for the needy truckers. And
that's a possibility, because if you look at the Charlie Project, they will show you that she had a distinctive rose tattoo. No, I'm sorry, a red cherry tattoo. Two red cherries, you know, on the little stem. And the locals that I spoke to said back then that meant solicitation. It meant that you had something for sale, you know, like maybe your sexual wares. So
yeah.
Was she into that, or was it just something cute and just, I don't know, something she got on a whim?
Well, if you go by where she was located, I would think that it was probably the former rather than something cute.
But I agree with you.
She leaves behind two small kids. She had been married just a few months. She needs to support the kids. I don't care what Rose was doing to earn a living. She's trying to take care of her kids. But the guy that she married was a domestic abuser and not a nice guy. And as soon as she disappears, the husband files for divorce and emergency custody of the two female kids. He thought that Rose would show up and abduct the children in the middle of the night before disappearing again.
Yeah, so he was immediately granted the custody and then eventually granted the divorce. And, you know, Rose's case, again, you can read about on the Charlie Project. It's also on the FBI's page. It's under Legacy Cases. Candace and Grandma believe that Rose disappeared due to some type of amnesia. It's such a weird story. Prior to Rose disappearing, she fell off a horse and supposedly hit her head. And that is the family's suspicion as to why she disappeared. She just forgot who she was, and she just drove off into the middle of nowhere and disappeared.
All right. Well, then she's alive somewhere, but she hasn't showed up, so I don't believe you.
No. If you had two kids, eventually you'd surface. You know, you'd reach out, or, you know, I think something bad happened to Rose. But, they always say that it's very odd that Candace was the last person to credibly see Rose alive and then the last person to credibly see Summer alive.
Yeah, I don't think Candace killed her sister.
I don't think,
but, and I'm not going to go off too far off the ledge here, but I have a feeling that when the teenager's lawyer has earned enough hourly fees, that the teenager's lawyer is going to make a deal with law enforcement, and that Candace is going to feel a lot of pressure, and that all these people who were helping her are going to turn against her. That is just my theory. If you know about the 1990 maroon or red Toyota Tacoma pickup, with the ladder rack and the white buckets, Mr. Guy who took the video of the beach, perhaps you could go find the Toyota Tacoma pickup truck. I think people would like that more.
Definitely. That truck is of interest. The person who's driving it, maybe what they do for a living, because I kind of feel like when they put these tips out, they may already know who the driver is, and they're thinking in good faith the person will step forward. And if they don't, then it looks really shady. So what is that person up to?
Yeah, so... I think it's 800-TBI-FIND. You never know. You guys, somebody could be driving through Tennessee and see it. Just, call. I think it's just going to be a great witness. I don't think, honestly.
It's either a great witness or it's someone that helped conceal a crime. You have contractors and you have someone who is missing. You can just speculate wildly as to what you can do to get rid of a body, drywall, concrete. We've seen it all in these types of cases, but you have to keep in the back of your mind that these kids, they do come home. So until evidence proves otherwise that Summer's no longer with us, spread the word on the case, and everyone has to keep looking. You have to.
I think the TBI used such specific language about saying this person is a potential witness. We want to know what they saw, if anything. I got the feeling... obviously, it's a statement and they could be lying in it, but I get the feeling that it is a witness, that perhaps the teenager talked to the police and mentioned the Toyota Tacoma pickup truck.
It could be. There was some type of rumor about a red truck tailing someone or trailing behind someone. If there's any validity to that statement, then maybe that is why. Looking for the car, again, the potential witness. What did you see in the car in front of you? Did you see three heads bobbing around in the back of the car? Or, did you see a big box, a big bucket? Everything, like they said, every detail is helpful to them. Just be careful with the GoFundMes. I know you will see a lot of GoFundMes. Just be very careful. If you're going to give to someone, give to the rescue group. There's a specific group, the Church Hill Rescue Group, that's actually physically looking. If you want to spend your money, spend it wisely.
Yeah. So many just, and GoFundMe, they say, oh, we're transparent. Just listen to Jen, do the one group like that. And don't worry about giving the family any money right now.
No, because grandma was grifting. You know, at least as of last night, she was asking for clothes and just all kind of stuff, which is just hinky as hell to me. Why do you need clothes? You haven't even left your house to go look for the missing child. Like I said, just if you're going to give, give wisely. That's just my best advice. You can do whatever you want, but just think it through.
Well, we will pray that they find Summer.
That's right. Summer Strong. Let's hope that she comes home, much like Jamie Kloss would be a great story for us to follow up on.
Well, thank you for finding this one. Well, it's everywhere, but talking about it, because it's been a long time since we did an actual really close crime that just happened. I know that we've done one before, but I don't recall what it was. But it was really right after we did it, it was solved. And
we did the beautiful little Hispanic girl, Aguila.
Yeah.
Something. She went missing. Yeah. We covered her. She was immediately found.
So
we've done a couple, but like you said, not in a while. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think this will have a good ending, but I would be very tickled if it did.
For sure. Well, I hope that you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You as well. And, you know, good luck on those reveals. I can't wait to see what you come up with.
Thank you. I will talk to you soon.
All right. Bye. Everyone stay safe.